Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy. The book of 2 Timothy and chapter number 1. The book of 2 Timothy and chapter number 1. We started this book of 2 Timothy this morning, understanding that God has called us according to with a holy calling, and that He has a purpose behind it. And what a great reminder for all of us, that the things we go through, that God has worked within our life because He loves us. And the Apostle Paul recognized that, and he was able to rejoice with Timothy over his circumstances, even though his circumstances was bleak and dire. As he continues to write this personal letter to Timothy, his son in the faith, he records a little bit more of the things he is going through, and he brings up a man that was a great help to him. And he takes several verses within the book of 1 Timothy chapter number 1 to tell Timothy the testimony of a man by the name of Onesiphorus. Onesiphorus. If you don't mind, let's read this account in the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 Timothy in chapter number 1, and notice with me in verse number 15. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15, the Bible says this. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phlegias and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. And the Lord grant unto him that he might find the mercy of the Lord in that day. And how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. And if you have the marking things in your Bible, will you mark a name and a phrase associated with that name in the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 1. The book of 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And notice with me in verse number 16. Notice the name Onesiphorus. Onesiphorus, and then notice later on in that same verse how he was referred to, not ashamed of my chain. Not ashamed of my chain. And with this, we want to do a character study on the person of Onesiphorus and see the description given to him, not ashamed of my chain. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for you being a wonderful God. And I thank you so much for the study of your word, to be able to open up the scriptures, to be able to see the historical people, and that be able to take a character and associate something about their life, to be able to learn about their life that we may apply to ourselves. I'm asking now as we do the study of Onesiphorus and see what an encouragement and help he was to the Apostle Paul, that it would encourage us to be great servants unto you, that we would not be ashamed of what you have planned for us, and that we could continue to keep working and keep serving you in the midst of a society that hates you. I'm asking again that you would just be with me, my mind, my thoughts, that I give them all to you, that you would use me as you see fit, fill me with your precious spirit, that you would be an encouragement, do a work in our lives tonight because of your precious word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The one thing about character studies, as we've covered before, is that every person's life carries a message. Every person's life carries a message. And as often as true in the Bible, you can often take one little epitaph, one little statement, and cover it in someone's life. For example, you have Joshua of the Old Testament, and the saying that you could put stamped on his life, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That was his mantra. That was the way that he lived his life, that "As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord." You could take Esther. In the book of Esther, you could have, what is the phrase associated with her? "For such a time as this." for such a time as this. And the reason why we can attach little phrases to each person in the Bible, that it's because every person's life teaches a message. Every person's life has a message. Even your life teaches a message. The villains of the Bible, their life teaches a message. And so when we do character studies, it's important to look at the life of the person and to be able to see the one thing, the message that their life hits. Well, the Apostle Paul is writing a personal letter to Timothy, his son of the faith. And as he's writing this letter, he takes time under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to tell Timothy of a mutual acquaintance they have and explain what an encouragement this man of Onesiphorus was. You see, the Apostle Paul was in a very bad place. The Apostle Paul had been previously arrested in Jerusalem. He was kept in Caesarea for a couple years. Then he was transported to Rome when he realized that the governors of of that Palestine, excuse me, of that promised land area under the Roman Empire was not going to allow the Apostle Paul to be let go. So he appealed unto Caesar. At this time, Nero was not crazy, and so he was placed in a cushy, as much as you could say Roman prison was cushy, a cushy house arrest where they allowed his friends to come and see him. Well, after a time that Nero stood, Apostle Paul stood before Nero, and he gave his testimony, gave it his account, and Nero let the Apostle Paul go. However, the Apostle Paul saw something and recognized something within Nero and knew that it was just going to be a short amount of time. And true enough, things did go south in a hurry. That Nero, the Roman emperor, always fancied himself as a great conductor, a great entertainer, a great director. And so he set fire to the city of Rome, displacing many people in their wooden houses. And as the fire burned, he imagined a great play just acting out before his eyes. Well, when the fire died down and lots of people were mad, he had to blame someone, so he blamed the Christians. And who was the leader of the Christian movement? The Apostle Paul, who he had talked to himself. And so he threw the Apostle Paul under the bus, made the Apostle Paul the most wanted man in the Roman Empire, and had the Apostle Paul arrested. Now, when he was arrested this time, it was not a nice, cushy prison. It wasn't anything of the sort. He was actually placed in the dungeon of a prison. In the muck, in the mire, dim light. In fact, he didn't even personally pen this book. He had to dictate this letter, and one of his companions wrote the letter by hand as the Apostle Paul is in the darkness. It is in the muck and the mire that he pens. We have 83 verses inside of this this book of 2 Timothy. 83 verses where Paul records his last words to his son of the faith. And last words are very important. When you know that you only have a few more words left, you want to use them wisely. And so he writes to his son of the faith, trying to give Timothy the last instruction he can give him to keep Timothy moving forward for the Lord, to keep him advancing forward, to encourage him not to quit during this time of great persecution. Now, as the Apostle Paul is arrested, and many of the people of the Christian world hear that the Apostle Paul is number one wanted, wanted on all the posters on their board. You could imagine if they had an FBI at the time, he was number one on their terrorist list. Let's arrest the Apostle Paul. And so at this time, many of the Christians heard that Paul was wanted, Paul was going to prison, and so many of them began to bail out, abandon ship, do everything they could to distance themselves to the Apostle Paul. Can you imagine such a thing? Here is Paul, the Paul who started 100-something churches, the Paul who led many people to the Lord himself, Paul who discipled so many and trained so many, this same Paul everyone's bailing out on. And so now we come to the story of Onesiphorus. And with here, Paul makes a comparison between two groups of people. Between people like Onesiphorus and the people who have abandoned him. If you don't mind, let's look at this division here. The first thing I'd like to show you is they which are in Asia be turned from me. They that be in Asia be turned from me. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1. And notice with me in verse number 15. This thou knowest. So Timothy, this is common knowledge. This isn't something that's hidden. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. Now, this is a big deal. When it talks about Asia, it's talking about the area of Asia Minor, which we would now call Turkey. Now, this is pretty prominent because there's a lot of churches in Asia Minor, in Turkey. You think about the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation lists 7 specific churches that are in Asia. These churches have turned away from Paul. Many of them Paul started or influenced. Think about this, the church of Colossae, the church of Hierapolis. This would also include the church of Ephesus, who Timothy is now pastoring. They're now talking about, should we really associate ourselves with this Paul guy? Sure, Paul's been a great influence, but you don't understand. The government hates Christians and they hate Paul. We need to make sure that we don't say that we're Christians. We need to make sure that we don't support the Apostle Paul. We need to make sure that we denounce him. Could you imagine how heartbreaking it would be for the Apostle Paul to be placed into prison because he did what was right, because he started churches, because he had a testimony for the Lord, because he had the privilege of giving a gospel witness to the Roman emperor? Now he's in prison. And now as he's in prison, he hears update after update after update of people who are leaving him. People are saying, I don't know the Apostle Paul. I don't know what you're talking about. People who are now denouncing the Apostle Paul, people he won to the Lord, that say, I no longer support the preacher. I no longer identify with the preacher. Not my preacher. They had a hashtag back then. Not my preacher. They're leaving him. They're abandoning him. And the Apostle Paul did nothing wrong. Imagine how disheartening that would be in a dim-lit prison, in a Roman prison, knowing that you're going to be executed, and the news you keep hearing, knowing you're going to be executed, is how people are leaving him, abandoning him, turning away from him, no longer following. Some people are even saying they're no longer Christians just because they don't want to be arrested themselves. Christianity has now become outlawed. It has now become persecution on a Christian because there's no country to associate him with. That if you're a Christian nowadays, it's now getting to the place, it's not quite there yet, but it's right there, that if you're a Christian, you could lose your job. If you're a Christian, you could lose your home. If you're a Christian, you could even lose your life. And so, of course, there's many people who say, I'm not a Christian. I don't know what you're talking about. No, I know. I tried that church thing and it didn't work for me. And many people are leaving, not even calling themselves Christians, followers of Christ anymore. Could you imagine the heartbreak the Apostle Paul has? So much that he names 2 people specifically that Timothy knows. We don't know who they are. The Bible doesn't give us reference to them. But Timothy knows who they are. And Paul makes mention of 2 specific people. Notice this in verse number 15. This thou knowest, that all they that are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phalagoras and Hermogenes. Here are 2 people, Timothy. You know them. They said they're no longer following me. They're no longer following. Timothy, the church you're pastoring in Ephesus, I've heard rumors and I've heard reports from the church you're pastoring that people don't want to be associated with me anymore. Can you imagine how hard it would be for Timothy? Where people are saying, hey, Timothy, we need to have a vote on this. On what? Whether we're going to support Paul anymore. Why wouldn't we? Because he's in jail. So he's the Apostle Paul. He's used of God. You don't understand. He's number 1 on the most wanted list. If they find Paul, they're going to arrest him and anyone that's associated with Paul. We need to make a statement right now that we don't stand with the Apostle Paul. Timothy had to deal with that, being the pastor. No, I'm sorry. We're still going to support him. We're still going to support him. And the people are because they're insecure, because they're not willing to stand for Christ, that's making a hard time in churches now. And the Apostle Paul is making reference to they that be of Asia, they be turned from me. But then in a comparison where it seems like everyone's turning away, there's one bright spot. There's one person who's still a great encouragement to the Apostle Paul, and that's Onesiphorus. And Onesiphorus, the Apostle Paul clearly says, he was not ashamed of my chain. We see that, if you don't mind, in verse number 16. And the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. So here's a man that decided he was going to stick up for the Apostle Paul. He was going to stick with the Apostle Paul. He was going to continue to help the Apostle Paul regardless of the circumstances. What a brave man that was. The Bible gives a little bit of biography about him. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse number 18, as the Apostle Paul makes reference of him, the Lord grant him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, in how many things he ministered, that's Onesiphorus, ministered unto me at Ephesus. Thou knowest well. So where did Onesiphorus come from? Well, remember that the Apostle Paul had started the church of Ephesus. And more than likely, the Apostle Paul had won Onesiphorus to the Lord while he was there pastoring and starting the church of Ephesus. During that time, Apostle Paul started to run a Bible institute in the school of one Tyrannus, daily disputing the school of one Tyrannus, that in the space of 2 years, all of Asia heard the gospel. And it was during that time Onesiphorus said, you know, the Apostle Paul led me to the Lord. The Apostle Paul trained me, and I'm going to be there for whatever he needs. So preacher, you need your shoe shine? Let me know. I'm going to help you out. Paul, what can I do? Can I get you some coffee? Paul, what can I do to help you out? And it was during that time, verse number 18, in how many things he ministered. That word ministered means servant. He served unto me at Ephesus. Thou knowest very well. Timothy, you know this guy. You watched him. That every time he had a chance to be a blessing to the preacher, he was. Timothy, you watched him. As we served in the school, he was there to be a help. He served. He ministered. He made it his business to be a blessing to the preacher when he was at Ephesus. Well, after this, the Apostle Paul, of course, went through many things and was arrested. But notice what Onesiphorus did in verse number 17. But when he, Onesiphorus, was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. This word diligently is very important. It carries the idea of how he sought for him. I want you to imagine that you hear on the news that the number one criminal in all of the empire was Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ. Imagine hearing that when it comes down to the news. And Onesiphorus heard this and says, guess what? The preacher needs me. Of any time, he needs me. So he left Ephesus and he went to Rome on purpose to find the Apostle Paul. Could you imagine how dangerous it would be to be asking and looking for the number one most wanted man? Let's take a different context. We know that Apostle Paul is not the same as Osama bin Laden. But you imagine, after 2001, for you to be going around different cities and saying, hey, have you seen Osama bin Laden? I'm looking for him. I need to talk with him. I want to be a blessing to him. Could you imagine how well received that would be to normal people in America? Well, the Roman Empire, the Christians were now being taught that they were evil. We explained this morning that the Romans had been taught that Christians were cannibals, that they drank the blood of their leaders. They called them vampires. They were cannibals. They actually ate the body of their leader. And they did it as a ritual. And as rumors started to spread about Christianity and the horrible amounts of it, imagine now the leader of Christianity is number one wanted. Our hero Nero, that's a good phrase, our hero Nero, he probably had that as a big sign, our hero Nero. He is looking for the number one wanted person, the terrorist of Rome, the Apostle Paul. If you see him, you don't approach him, he's too dangerous to approach. You let us know, we'll send soldiers for him. He is the number one most wanted person. And so Onesiphorus, imagine him going through the streets of Rome. Imagine him going through the Roman Empire. Have you seen the Apostle Paul? Have you seen him? What do you want him for? I want to be a blessing. You imagine how dangerous that was. And so the Bible says here, not only did he search for him, verse 17, but when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. Meaning he wasn't going to take no as an answer. He actually had to go through some hardships. He had to go through some obstacles in order to find the Apostle Paul. Not only that, when he found him, he had to deal with Apostle Paul in prison. Could you imagine having the number one most wanted person in all the empire, and someone says, hey, I want to be a visitor. Can I go visit the prisoner? Imagine how hard that would be. Especially without a fair justice system, with guards who don't have to be nice to you, saying, no, absolutely not. What do you want to see him for? Could you imagine him going through the hardships and the heartbreaks, trying to even get to see Paul in prison, to deal with the guards? Most people would have said, oops, I tried. They told me no. I'm going to go ahead and go home now. But he didn't quit. I got to be a blessing to my preacher. I'm going to do whatever it takes to be a blessing to my preacher. I'm going to show up and I'm going to be at the prison every day and say, can I see Paul today? Can I see Paul today? Can I see Paul today? And he was there. Finally, they let him in. Now, notice what else was going on in verse number 16. And the Lord give mercy into the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Now, in this prison, I want to remind you that the Roman government was not obligated to feed the prisoners. Meaning they didn't have a chow hall, they didn't give them food. So the only way that a prisoner of Rome in this type of prison was fed was if people brought food to the prisoner, brought supplies to the prisoner. So can you imagine Onesiphorus? Not only does he have to deal with the guards just to see the Apostle Paul, but then he has to go get supplies. The Apostle Paul hasn't had food in days. So he goes out, goes get some food, brings it to the Apostle Paul. He has to go through the guard checks as the people check his food, make sure there's no file in it, to make sure there's no weapons in it. And he has to go through it and give the Apostle Paul the food. Well, the Apostle Paul's not making bail. He's not getting out anytime soon. So guess what? Eventually, the Apostle Paul's going to have to eat again. And so the Onesiphorus made it his business to go and take care of his preacher. His preacher's in jail. And yes, it's inconvenient to go visit Paul in jail. It's inconvenient to have to go buy food to go give to the prisoner, to go through the guards. But not only that, because Paul was considered so dangerous that at all times, 24 hours a day, he had to have a guard handcuffed to him. Imagine that. Think about the logistics of having someone handcuffed to you. Think about going to sleep. I don't know about you, but I'm a side sleeper. Imagine how difficult that is to have someone handcuffed to you while you're trying to sleep. Think about the idea that he's down in a dungeon. And the way that you go to the dungeon is they open up a lid and they lower you down. And they put you in the muck and the mire. Well, every day they have to have guards that are handcuffed to them, so they have to go down and go up. Imagine the logistics of it to receive food. So Onesiphorus is saying, here, I'll get you some food. Imagine how difficult that would be. Hey, Dr. Luke, my sores are opened up. And imagine a doctor trying to examine you while you have a guard that's jerking on you. Imagine how difficult that would be. The logistics of everything that went on. And yet Onesiphorus kept helping. Onesiphorus made it his business to make himself a servant, a minister unto his preacher. This is the Apostle Paul. I love my preacher. I know he's in jail, but I'm going to stick with him. I understand that I maybe get harassed, but I'm going to stick with him. You understand? This is my chance to be a blessing to my preacher. This is when he needs me the most. I'm going to stand with my preacher. Well, it ended up costing Onesiphorus. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 16. And the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. You see, he didn't say, God give mercy to Onesiphorus, because Onesiphorus died. He gave his life for his preacher. Maybe it was one too many times that he went in and he tried to help the Apostle Paul. Maybe there was a guard who was tired of the Apostle Paul. Imagine being stuck to the Apostle Paul in chains. Well, what do you think the Apostle Paul is going to do while you're stuck with him in chains? He's going to witness to you. Maybe there is someone who was convicted, didn't want to get right. And so he gets unchained and here's Onesiphorus smiling. Hey, how are you doing? I'm blessed. I'm going to go give food to the preacher today. Maybe the guard looks at him and says, you're not going to give it to him today. And they drag Onesiphorus. Imagine how many times he got beat just trying to be a blessing to the preacher. This is not an easy world. This is not a world that has all kinds of freedoms. And then finally one day, Onesiphorus didn't show up. And then the next, and then the next. Maybe it was Dr. Luke that said, hey, guess what? We just found Onesiphorus face down in an alley next door. He's gone. He died taking care of his preacher. So the Apostle Paul says, listen, the Lord, notice again in verse 16, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of his shame. Here's a man who got saved. When he got saved, he got saved. Oh, when Paul was at Ephesus, he served his preacher in the church. Oh, preacher, what can I do for you? What can I do to be a blessing? How can I be a help? Later on, he heard the Apostle Paul was the number one most wanted man. And so he made it his business to travel to Rome and to look for Paul. Have you seen this man? Have you seen the Apostle Paul? Have you found him? And then finally he finds him. And during that time, he feeds him. He takes care of the preacher while the preacher can't take care of himself. He's stuck in prison. And he's willing to even die in order to be a servant. You know what's happening? The rest of the Christian world is abandoning Paul in droves. They can't get away from Paul fast enough. But here's one man who's staying close. One man who's not abandoning the Lord Jesus Christ. Who's not abandoning the cause of Christ. Who's willing, even at the cost of his own life, to keep the cause of Christ going by helping and serving his preacher. What's the end result? Well, notice with me as the Apostle Paul makes reference of it in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 1 and verse 18. Notice with me. The Lord grant unto him, this is Onesiphorus, the Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord, notice this phrase, in that day. Whenever it refers to that day, it usually refers to the day of the Lord, the day of Jesus Christ, the judgment seat of Jesus. And so the Apostle Paul says, let me tell you about Onesiphorus. He served me. He gave his life to take care of his preacher. He didn't abandon the cause of Christ. And let me tell you, God's going to grant him mercy. He's going to see great rewards when it comes to the judgment seat of Christ. There's going to be a lot of people who were ashamed of God and ashamed of his preacher. And God's going to be ashamed of them. The Bible speaks quite a bit about that over and over and over. But Onesiphorus, God's got a special reward for him in that day. In the day of judgment. The day that of the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Oh, Onesiphorus is going to stand there. And God is going to reward them. And for 1,000 years, Onesiphorus is going to have something special in the millennial kingdom. Because he kept with the stuff. He kept serving God. He kept moving forward. You understand that we're not living just for this day here. We're living for the day of judgment. The day that we'll stand before Jesus Christ. And we'll give an account for what we did in our body. We'll give an account of whether we were ashamed of Jesus. Or if we were not ashamed of Jesus Christ. And our rewards will be reflected unto that day, unto that time. Are you ashamed to be called a Christian? Are you ashamed to serve? Well, what do we learn from the house of Onesimus or Onesiphorus? What do we learn from this man's life? Well, here's the principle. One of the best ways not to quit following Jesus, one of the best ways not to quit following the Lord is to become a servant. Is to become a servant. Oh, there's something about becoming a servant. finding something to do, to serve, to work. And as you make yourself a servant, it makes it hard to quit following after Jesus when you're in the habit of serving Him. When you're in the habit of being a blessing to the preacher. When you're in the habit of serving in the things that God has you to do. It makes it hard to quit in those days when it becomes hard. And let me tell you, there's a day in our country that is coming. It is right around the corner. It is sooner than you think that you are going to be called upon to make this choice. I never thought that within my lifetime I'd have to say this announcement, but it's going to cost you something to be a Christian. Very soon in this country, very, very soon, it's going to be causing a price. May I give you an example? There are several things that I preach from this pulpit, from the Bible, that if I was in Canada, it would land me in jail. Would you still support your preacher if I was in jail? Or would you say, nope, I don't want to associate myself? Was it because I did something wrong? No, it's because I preached the Word of God. That is coming to our country. And in fact, may I already say that is already going through the houses of Congress right now? It is here. And you are going to have to make a choice to identify as a Christian, to stand as a Christian, even if it costs you something. You say, how can I prevent that? By becoming a servant now. Becoming a servant now. How do I become a servant? It could be something as simple as, preacher, you had anything for me to do? The answer is always yes. There's always things to do. Make yourself a servant. You know that's what Jesus Christ did? That He came from the glories of heaven, robed Himself in flesh, fashioned Himself as a man in the form of a servant. And He served. He served others. The word minister means servant. That as a minister, I'm not bigger than someone. I'm lower than someone. I'm here to serve. I'm here to be a blessing to people. It's not about me and it's not about you. It's about others. And if you get in the habit of serving God now and get busy about the things. And that's the problem, is that people don't like to be a servant. People like to get out of work as much as possible. Look at it like kryptonite. I don't know what that is. Stay away from that. But to find, purposely find things to do for the Lord. To serve God. Because it is now coming where persecution is around the corner. And there are going to be many people who call themselves Christians now who will not call themselves Christians then. People who are barely faithful to church now will not be faithful to church then. People will not be faithful in reading their Bible then if they are not in the habit of reading their Bible now. You understand, this thing of 2 Timothy is right around the corner. And now we're doing preventative maintenance. How do we prevent ourselves from abandoning Christ? How do we keep ourselves from being ashamed of Jesus Christ? By making ourselves into a servant now and finding ways to serve. That is our job. That's our responsibility because of who God is. Remember, we don't serve God in order to get something from Him. We serve Him because of what He's already done for us, out of a grateful heart, already in appreciation of all that He has done for me. To serve Him. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920 920-
800-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.